What happens to Israel? God will fight for Israel. He will fight for them. The enemy wants position of authority. And he will do everything he can to get that position. See, David surrounded himself. How many have read 1 and 2 Samuel, the Chronicles? I mean, just really read them and really just loved David. You know, we're seeing more and more people preaching about David now. And I've been into reading about David and how David's life and how he lived kind of reflects who we are. Israel reflects who we are. The nation of Israel reflects who we are, all from when they left Egypt. They would go to God. They loved him because he took them out of Egypt, and they were mad at him because he didn't do something. They would start serving other gods, and then they would cry out because life was terrible. And then so then they would cry back out to God, and God would bring them back in, and they would live with him for a little while and worship with him a little while. And then what would they do? They would bring Baal and Ashtaroth back into their homes and worship other gods. And then this would go on and on and on. It was just like a teeter-totter, constantly in and out of fellowship with God. But David has surrounded himself with strong men. When you read in 1 Kings there, it talks about Nathan, which is the prophet, right? And Benaiah. Who is Benaiah? And it says the mighty men. Who's David's mighty men? When did the mighty men come to David? The mighty men came to David before he was king. Before he was king. While Saul was chasing him. See, these men came to David. He was king, or before he was king, and these people were the most inner trusted people that he had. When they came to him, they fought with him. They protected him. Listen to this. In 2 Samuel 23, 8 through 21. It says, David's mighty men. These are the names of the mighty men who David had. Jehoshabeth. Now, excuse me on the names, because there's some names. This Old Testament stuff, names. They didn't make them easy. It wasn't a Paul, Eli, you know. It was just, they made these names like, whoa. Jehoshabeth, Bathsheba, the Tachamonite, chief among the captains. He was called Adio, the Esnite. Because he had killed 800 men at one time. Listen to this. 800 men at one time. These are the people that surrounded David. 800 men at one time. Wow. And it goes on. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, or however you want to say it. Dodo. Right? My English teacher here, I should let her read this. The Haolite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated, he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. Listen to that. How many of us fight like that? How many of us fight? Now, this is a different kind of war, but how many of us fight till our hearts are stuck to the floor? How many of us fight till we can't pray no more? How many of us really fight? This man must have been in a battle. He must have been in a battle that he was surrounded by all kinds of his enemy. And he stayed in that place and swung his sword all day long. Could you imagine the fortitude that he had? The Lord brought out about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hirite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defending it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Then 3 of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison and of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the 3 mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem, and then was at the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of men who went into jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the 3 mighty men. Now Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of another three. He lifted his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these 3. He was not the most honored of 3, therefore he became their captain. However, he did not attain the first 3. You know, when you read this and you listen to this, these mighty men went out in 3s. That's what we read. There were 3 men together, and they were like this supernatural force, like our military, like the SEAL teams or our Green Berets. But there was only 3 of them, and they would be dispatched out to do certain things. And they were tough. I don't know how big they were. I don't know how strong they were. But I know God's hand was upon them because of the mighty deeds that they done. In verse 20 it says, "Then Benani was the son of Jehadiah, the son of a valiant man from Kabazil, who had done many deeds. He had killed 2 lions like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day." What do you do on a snowy day? Listen to that. The lion's in a pit. Why does he got to go down and kill the lion? Because it's there on a snowy day. These are the type of men that hung around David. They were strong. They were fortitude. They were mighty. That's why they call them the mighty men. And then it also says, "And he killed the Egyptian in a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, so he went down to him with a staff, wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear." These are the men that are around David. All his reign, these men are with him. They're not leaving his side. They're protecting him. As I look today at I'll say President Trump. I don't like some of his rhetoric. I don't like some of the things he says. I don't care for his demeanor sometimes. But what I do like about him is his heart for what we believe. That's what I do like. Because he is more on the Christian side of things than she is. And so what we're seeing is people coming alongside him when back in 2016, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on, and in 2020, people were against him. I mean, people were just shunning him and saying all kinds of things about him. But these people here are coming around him and strengthening him. It's the same thing with David. See, these mighty men came to David when he was a fugitive of Saul. Listen to this in 1 Chronicles 12, 1 and 2. It says, "Now these were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was still a fugitive from Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers in the war, armed with bows, using both their right hand and their left in hurling stones and shooting arrows with the bow. They were Benjamin, Saul's brethren." These people came from Saul, his clan. So, what did these mighty men have in common? What should we have in common with these mighty men? And I've been thinking about this for a little while. These men had strength. We need to have strength. What is strength? What is strength to us? Strength is having an inner resource to face challenges and overcome obstacles with courage, perseverance, and relentlessness. Strength. Not strong. Strength in the heart. Strength to go on. Strength to persevere. Strength when we're having issues to keep going. We need to be men and women of strength. Strength is more than being strong, but it's also having the stamina to keep fighting, pushing and pressing in, pursuing and pressing in. We need to continually press in. You know, sometimes our Wednesday night group, as we come together and pray, sometimes it's hard. I'm telling you, it's hard to come in. But you know what? The Lord says, have strength, be encouraged, persevere, pursue, pursue me. This morning was all about pursuing Him. The more I seek You, Lord, the more I find You. The more I find You, the more I love You. You know, this is what God is calling us to get closer to Him. Strength is fighting for what is right. You keep fighting and not giving up in prayer, not giving in to your weaknesses. This is where I was this morning when the Lord was talking to me that I haven't prayed for my wife enough. I haven't prayed for my children enough. I haven't fought the fight that I'm supposed to. I've been weak. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been weak. A lot of stuff going on in my life, a lot of stuff going on, but I've been weak, Tabitha, in praying for you. Are we weak in praying for our spouses? Are we weak in praying for our children? Are we weak for fighting for what is right? Strength is moving forward when all your energy is gone. Strength is moving forward. Prayer and moving forward when all your energy is gone. When you really fight and you really get into a place of battle. I've seen Tabitha there this earlier in the year. I've seen her there in that place of battle. And her energy is gone because she's fighting. She's fighting the enemy. She's fighting for that strength. But what I noticed in her was strength is moving forward when all your energy's gone. Her energy, she kept fighting, and she kept fighting even though she had no energy left. Psalms 23:26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Listen to what Isaiah says in 40:28-31. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor weary, or is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Strength. These men that surrounded David, these men that went out and fought, these mighty men had strength. They had a place where they would never give up. They were not in any fear of dying. Because if you stand in the middle of a field and you wield a sword and you're killing 800 men in a day, I guarantee he had no fear. He's standing in the midst. He might have had some kind of fear, but he's standing in the midst. He said that they used both hands, left and right. They're just, could you stand there and see people coming at you? How would you fight? Well, I'm telling you what, right now the enemy is raging a war against the church. He's raging a war against the people of the world, and he's coming against us. And the church is not ready. We have no perseverance. We have no stamina to keep going. We only have the stamina to come in on a Sunday morning. We only have the stamina to do a little bit. Don't get me wrong. There's people out there that are studying the Word that are before the Lord daily. But I'm telling you what, the mainstream church across the world, across the United States, I would say, because I don't know about the other ones, other countries, but the mainstream church across the United States has no fortitude to keep fighting. They have a get out of jail card mentality, and they're not going to be ready when all hell breaks loose in the earth. They are not going to be ready. I'm even changing my mindset on the rapture. It really doesn't matter, and Sonny talked about it before. It doesn't matter if it comes pre, post, or mid. It doesn't matter. Be ready. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're looking for a pre-tribulation rapture and it doesn't happen, where's your heart going to be at? Where are you going to be at? Are you going to have the fortitude to be strong? Are you going to have the fortitude to say, you know what? I stand for Christ. I stand for Him. And I don't care what you do to me, I will not deny Him. I will not take the mark of the beast. I will not deny Him. When people are dying all around, and it says a third of the trees will be burned up, a third of the ocean will be destroyed. It's going to be crazy. There's a nuclear war coming into this country, into the world, should I say. There's going to be a nuclear war coming. So I say that to say this. How do you get stamina? So what I noticed, this is just a personal note, what I noticed is I had some high blood pressure about a month ago. And all through the summer I've been sluggish. I never knew why I was so sluggish. I went to the doctor. He gave me 5 milligrams of some kind of medicine, and this blood pressure came down, but it didn't come down enough. And so we waited 30 days, and I called him. I said, man, it's still kind of high. He gives me 10 milligrams. The second day that I had taken the medicine, I felt an energy I haven't felt in a long time. How do I gain stamina now? I don't go out and run 10 miles, but I start out with a mile. And then I gain that stamina for a mile, and then I begin to increase that and increase it and increase it. So if I can only pray for 5 minutes, how do I gain the stamina to pray for 5 hours? It's because you got to get before the Lord and you begin to build that stamina. If I can only pray in tongues for 30 seconds, how do I keep going? How do I pray for 5 minutes? How do I pray for 30 minutes? How do I pray? It's by doing and working and doing and working and doing and working. And the stamina begins to grow in you. Sometimes we... Because I know there's some questions on praying in tongues, and some of us do and some of us don't. But it's like this. It's not just God coming over you, you have this word. It's inside of you. It's inside of you that comes out. And maybe you only have the stamina for 15 seconds. Build it up, because God is going to need you in the supernatural realm. The second thing that these mighty men had was courage. Courage is the ability to do what is right and necessary even when forced with danger or difficulty. It is a strength of soul that comes from the fear of the Lord. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the willingness to act in obedience to God's will. These mighty men displayed courage. Listen to this in Joshua 1:9. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I think about those guys. David needs a drink of water. And he wants it from Bethlehem. And what's in Bethlehem? The garrison of the Philistines. Like on a whim, he says, man, I'd love to have a drink of water from Bethlehem, from the spring. And these mighty men are like, okay, I'm going. 3 men take off. bust through the gates, get the water, and take it back. You know there had to be bloodshed. David said it. Then when David comes back, he pours it out on the ground. What would you do if you were the three mighty men that went and fought? They didn't do anything. They were there for David. They had courage to walk out anything that they needed to do. We need to have courage. We need to have courage in the workplace. We need to have courage in the marketplace. We need to have courage to go out and spread the good news, as Travis was talking. We have to go out and share the gospel. We don't have enough courage to go out and share the gospel with people. I don't know what it is the world looks down at Christianity. The world looks down at us. They make fun of us. They make jokes about us. They think we're this weak people. And we do look like that at times because we show humility. We show love and we show compassion. But God has called us to be strong as well. He's called us to go out and do the things that He's called us to do. Go out and lay hands on the sick. Go out and cast out demons. Go out and preach the gospel. But if we don't have no courage to do those things, what are you going to do when you stand before God, and before the throne? He says, what did you do? Where's your crowns? What have you done for me? Except love me. If you love something as these men love David. These mighty men love David, and they would do anything for him. They would risk their lives for David in any way. Do we have the courage to risk our lives for our Lord and Savior? Do we have the courage to risk our name, our personality? Do we have the courage to risk who people think we are? Oh, they're a Christian. He might punch me. I don't know, but I'm going to walk out, and I'm going to pray for him. You know what I found out in times of need, and I don't care how big those people are, how strong they are, how mean they are, how drunk they are, it doesn't matter how drugged up they are. When they're in need and there's a man of God or a woman of God around that lays hands on them, they will melt. They will melt under the power of the living God. It's that simple, because you carry the power of heaven inside of you. Why should we not have the courage to walk out the things that God has called us to do? The problem is the enemy gets us too busy. The enemy makes us too busy to do anything. Well, we got ball games here, we got meetings here, we got to go here and got to go there and got to do this. And we get so stuck in doing all these things that we never get out into the marketplace and do the things that we're called to do. We need to get out of the place and not get so busy about things. The enemy loves for the church to come in and be the church inside the church, but he does not want the church to get outside of the walls of the church and be the church. He loves it when you come into this building. You can practice on each one of us all day long. That builds faith, but you got to take it outside these doors and have the courage to walk out into the places. When David needed a drink of water, they walked and went to Bethlehem and got it. We have to have the courage to walk out and take the drink of water out to the people and show them who the Lord God is. Because these people in our area, Terre Haute, Indiana, will not see who the Lord God is unless the church gets outside of these four walls. That's every church in there's 170-some churches in our area. That's every church getting outside of their four walls and being Christ out in the mission field, out in the battlefield, whatever you want to call it. But we get so caught up of sitting home, maybe watching TV, sitting home flipping through YouTube, sitting home watching one of our Netflix things. But we get so caught up, even in reading our Word, that we never get out and do the things that the Word tells us to do. We need to build up courage, taking risk, stepping out in faith to do the will of God. See, the more we step out in faith, the more courage will grow. It's just like stamina. The more you act on something, the more it will increase in your life. The more you sow into something, the more you sow it, the more seeds you sow, the more you will reap. The third thing is passion. These mighty men had passion. Passion has to do with the heart, the internal fire that motivates us and energizes us to fulfill the purpose and to do God's will. God is the source of spiritual passion. The Holy Spirit comes to ignite us with holy fire. Listen to this. Passion, being fervent or fervor, ador, this is names I got off of, so I can't read them. And you need to have enthusiasm, zeal. It means intense emotion. Compelling action. Passion applies to an emotion that is deeply stirring or ungovernable. I like that. Passion is ungovernable. There's on motors and on engines, should I say. On engines, they put governors on cars so Cliff doesn't push it to the floor and blow the engine up when he was young. Remember that? When you shove it to the floor? They had governors on these engines. They had governors on these motorcycles. Whatever it is, so you would not destroy the engine. But passion is ungovernable. That means you can run it wide open. When you are passionate about something, when you are passionate about God, when you're passionate about something, you will be ungoverned in how you act and how you... When you watch people worship and you go to different places... I know Sonny's been to a lot of places, and he's watched a lot of different people worship. And some people are ungoverned. They're just undone before the Lord. As I mentioned last week, you'll see that same guy. You can get up there every time. He's up there in that left corner. He's undone. It doesn't matter. His passion for worship is ungovernable. We need to have that ungovernable passion for the Lord. We have that ungovernable passion to go out and walk out in the streets of Indiana or Terre Haute in our vicinity and just begin to show the love of God. We need to have passion for the things we're fighting for. That means I need to have passion for my wife, that I need to fight with her. I need to have passion for my children. I need to fight for them with ungovernable passion. I don't know what that looks like. I'll just be honest with you. With all the stuff in the world, all the stuff that I got to do, I don't understand what that looks like. Maybe you do. But I'm learning it. I'm telling you from the pulpit because I'm learning it myself. How can I have an ungovernable passion that I lay it out before God for my kids? Because the world surrounds you with so much. Passion will drive us to fight even harder. It will drive us to push the boundaries of our experiences and capabilities. Passion will drive us to push those boundaries of all my capabilities. See, strength comes from the Lord. And I got to keep myself planted in the Lord. I just can't go out half-cocked and do the things I think I need to do. I need to be planted and grounded in the Lord. And that the capacities that I am able to do will be surpassed by the Lord's capacities in me. See, that's when I come to the place where I can't do anymore, where God begins to do His exploits through us. The Bible tells us that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As I close this morning, the enemy is trying to get in places of authority in our lives, in our country, and all around us. There's going to be a vote in 2 days. Half of the world, or half of the United States, does not believe in Jesus. at least half of the United States. There's people in the church that do not believe in the God I believe in. Sonny was talking about holiness, and the Lord's been playing that on my heart for a while now of holiness. What does holiness look like to you? What does holiness look like to the church? In a church down the road? In a church across the country? What does holiness look like to them? But I know what holiness looks like to God. I mean, stripping myself of myself, laying those things down that hinder me from being close to Him. Getting rid of the junk in my life to allow Him to use me. So we need to do our part in the next 2 days. Who's voted already? Wow. Over 3/4 of the church. We've voted too. Do your part. And vote. But then pray. 6:00 tomorrow night. Pray wherever you're at. 6:00. It doesn't say some 5-minute prayer. It doesn't say some 20-second prayer. It says pray. Pray with passion. Pray with strength. Pray with zeal. Pray with courage. So we need to have faith, strength, courage, and passion to outlast the enemy's attack. And I tell you that because I don't know if there's going to be a rapture or when it is going to be. And if I would tell you there's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture, you're thinking I don't have to go through this stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't know. But what I do know is God's got this. It's what I do know. And I have to have faith, trust in Him. No matter what. I don't care what comes to me. Well, God, you said you was going to take me out before all this happened. We don't know what that looks like. We don't know. We can read about what the end times looks like, but we can't even fathom what it's really going to look like. We have the impression in our minds of what we think it's going to be. There's coming a time in our life that we're going to have to be passionate about our Lord. We're going to have to be passionate about what we believe. We're going to have to be passionate and have courage and strength to persevere. We want to take communion today. I know this is a little bit different message than you're used to from me. And I'm learning each and every day with the Lord to trust Him. I got her now. I'm learning each and every day to trust Him. And I know there's things that the Lord is calling me to do and step out in places that I'm not used to. And I know He's calling you guys in the same way to step out in places that you're not used to. And I tell you what, it's scary. It's scary. I know them men, the mighty men of David. The first time they went out to fight, whatever they had to do, you know there had to be fear in their hearts. But as they went out by threes, as they went out and fought, as they went out and slaughtered the people that was coming up against them, they seen God's hand was on them. I don't know what the next year holds for us as a church, as a nation. But I pray that the Lord and then that the church and the people of our nation rises up and selects the correct one. To give us a chance and an opportunity to support Israel. To back them. I pray that He gives us a chance to have the passion to fight for our children. Have the passion to fight for our families. To pray for them. So, Father God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you sent your Son into the earth at the moment, the right timing, at the perfect timing you sent him into this land, into a virgin woman, Mary. And she bore a child at the right moment and right time, that he would grow up amongst his people. He'd be a root out of David. He would be the Savior of the world, life changer, chain breaker. As he lived his life all the way up until the last moment, with passion and zeal and courage, doing the Father's will all up from the moment he was born to the moment he died upon the cross, doing the will of the Father. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus sat around with his friends. He sat around with his closest people around him, as they laid and reclined at the table. I could see him just reminiscing about the things that he had taught them, the things that they have discussed, the laughter, the sorrow, and joy. As he looked down at the bread, he began to bless it. Blessed Lord God, King of the universe. That as the grain goes into the ground and dies and grows, blessed Lord God, King of the universe, I bless this bread that represents your body this morning. Father, I pray that each one takes of your body this morning, the actual body of the living God. From every stripe, every thorn, every sword or spear that pierced your body, every nail, the healing will come into their body, Father, as they believe. Son and Phyllis. Also on that same night, as they're eating and drinking, he picks up the cup, the third cup. This is the new covenant. This is the new covenant I share with you all today. The new covenant that takes away all the sacrifices that they have done to this moment. That there's going to be one permanent sacrifice that takes away the sins of the world forever and eternity. Lord God, I bless this fruit of the vine that represents your blood this morning. Father, I pray that each one that partakes of your blood this morning, Lord, that it covers the multitude of sin. It covers their pain, their hurt, and the sin, and brings righteousness into their hearts. It covers them, O God. So, Father, I bless this fruit of the vine this morning. Father, I thank you for who you are this morning. I thank you that you are the Lord God, King of the universe. I thank you that you sent your Son into the earth. Because I'm a sinful man, Lord, you sent your Son into the earth to redeem me. I thank you for the opportunity to serve you, Lord, each and every moment. Father, I pray right now, Father, that each one that comes to the table this morning, Father, I pray that you will just bless them mighty. Let all the benefits of the table this morning enter their bodies today in faith as we partake of the body and the blood this morning. Father, I just, as you feel ready, come up and take of communion. You got some music? Father, as we leave here today. Father, I pray for strength and courage and passion in our daily lives. Not afraid of the enemy's tactics, not afraid of the enemy that's in front of us. But strong and mighty. Position us, O Lord, for most marvelous works. Position our hearts, O God, for our strength. Father, place the passions in our heart, the undeniable passion to fight for what is right, the passion to fight for our family, the passion to fight for our children, the passion to fight for our church, the passion for the fight for the church across the world, the passion to pray, to bless Israel. The passion to pray for our president. Whoever that may be on Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday morning. Father, I don't want to just say passion to pray for one individual, but Father, I pray passion to pray for whoever is president of the United States, because prayer changes everything. So Father, we know your will in this world. But you've given us free will in the earth. Father, I know the Antichrist is going to come into a place of power. At some point in time, he's going to bring a peace treaty, as your word says. And the enemy is going to place someone in that place of authority in the earth. And he's going to think he has the upper hand. But God, I know you are the all-power, almighty one. And what it says at the end of the book, you're going to destroy all enemies of the Lord. That the enemies will place under his feet as a footstool. And Father, as those enemies are placed under him, we are in Christ, they are placed under us as well. So Father, I pray for the courage, the passion, and the strength to continue on in prayer and supplication in everything that we do. Let us have the fortitude. Let us have the might, the persistence to press into you, but also to the world. To be the light that shines in the darkness. And let everybody in our community see the great light of Jesus the King, the Lord and Savior of us all. Father, bless this people in this room. Bless us. Wake us up in the middle of the night, that we get up and wake up and just commune with you, to know you and to know your heart. As the old men dream dreams and the young men see visions, let that be in this place. Let that be in our house, in our children, and our old men. Let them have the word of the Lord in their hearts, in their minds, in their spirit, to drive out any enemy force that comes up against them. Father, keep us safe as we leave here today. I pray for our nation in the next couple days, Father, is turmoil. I pray there is no turmoil. I pray there is no division. I pray for peace and sanity in our earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Keep us safe as we leave today. Father, I pray over Adora as well. And Father, we just lift her up to you as she's in that room. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. And amen. Don't forget, if you want to get in Kaneo 1, Kaneo 2, this is the classroom. We'll be on Thursday night here at Calvary Temple. Come and see me. We'll give you a QR code. You can sign up. You get a $50 discount. If not, you got to pay $100.